Before I start the sermon, I wanted to thank those of you who are here, especially those of you who are normally here, for your generosity. This is a very giving church. I don't know if you ever think about that. I hear routinely that for a church of our size, we do a lot, and I think that is true. A few weeks ago, we collected, well, you collected names for Angel Tree Ministries, right? Angel Tree Ministries is a ministry where we provided gifts to children whose parents are incarcerated in the parent's name, so that the child still gets, you know, a gift for Christmas. And when the names came in this year, it was like, you know, was it half of only on this list? It was a huge list. We had gotten the list directly to us, and then the district got some names that were also part of our zip code, and we do it by zip code. So they gave us more names, and we thought we had enough names the first time. And Carolyn and I, as we talked about it, we were praying over it, said, well, what are we going to do if all the names aren't taken? Well, God will arrange it, is more or less what I said to Carolyn. It'll be okay. And I started thinking about, well, you know, maybe we can talk to some of the other churches in the area. Maybe we can get some help from the other ministries and stuff. But the day that we had the names of the Angel Tree, you took them all. All the names, you took them all. Matter of fact, there were people who wanted to help who weren't, and names are already gone. We had more helpers than even we had names for. And I want to thank you for that. That is a wonderful thing for our community, and it's a wonderful thing for those children. So, thank you. That's a great thing to celebrate. I often pray during the offering, at the beginning of the offering, about God's generosity to us and how we are responding to that generosity. And Christmas is a great time to remember God's generosity. Giving us Jesus, the indescribable gift. It's an incredible event to celebrate. We can rejoice that our Savior is born. Jesus changes everything. His birth, his life, his death, his resurrection changes everything. If you would, turn to Isaiah chapter 61. It's page 739 of the Pew Bibles. You can follow along behind me. We're going to read the first three verses. Now, think, well, why would you pick Isaiah? Okay, well, we've been using the Old Testament in preparation for Christmas. And if you're not familiar with Isaiah, you might still recognize this passage. Okay? In Luke chapter 4, Jesus quotes part of this. He opens up the scroll of Isaiah, and he reads part of this. Now, we're going to read a little bit more than he did. And at the end of reading what he reads, he proclaims that he is the fulfillment of this prophecy. So let's read this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Okay, now Jesus stopped there. We're going to read a couple more lines. Now I think that what he did was he quoted enough of it, he actually is saying he's fulfilling all of this. Let's continue. I'm going to go back and read the last line. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Now, when Jesus read this in Nazareth, the people would not accept it. And they missed his blessing. I can just hear Jesus reading this, though. Something like, rejoice. The power of the Lord God is on me. I, Jesus, have God's power to bring good news to the needy, to help those who are overwhelmed by grief and sorrow. I, Jesus, am here to set the captives free and proclaim God's favor on people. Yes, there will be vengeance on those who rebel against the Father and reject me. But I, Jesus, will comfort the mourners and the grieving. I, Jesus, will give them gladness and turn their despair into hope and praise of God Almighty. I, Jesus, will make them right with God the Father for His glory and His magnificence. Okay, obviously, that's my paraphrase. But he's proclaiming this powerful, joyful message. And I think Jesus is still saying to us, rejoice, I am here to help you. Jesus does come as judge and savior. We face him one way or the other. We accept him and follow him, and he is our savior. Or at the end of all things, he will be our judge. And he is here to help. Are you in need? Are you, as you sit here, are you in need? I guess you could say, well, who isn't? Do you have some needs that truly just seem impossible to overcome? I'm serious. Impossible. It just seems like there is no way this could ever work out. Are you struggling with grief or with sorrow? Grief and sorrow can feel like a bottomless black hole. Can feel like there's no way out and there's no end. Do cares overwhelm you? Are you stuck? Do you feel stuck or trapped? Maybe your past locks you in. Maybe your circumstances bind you. They seem impossible to overcome. You've done things that seem unforgivable. You've done things that seem unsurmountable now. You're in situations, maybe by your own doing, maybe by somebody else's, and it seems like they are chains that are absolutely unbreakable. Maybe there are past decisions that you need to turn from, you need to seek forgiveness, but you just don't know how. Maybe there are words that you have said, and they need to be taken back, recanted. And you need forgiveness. Maybe others have said words that ought to be taken back, and they need to be forgiven. And the hurt, the betrayal of those words bind you. Maybe you need to forgive and you just know how. It doesn't seem like it's in you. The pain runs too deep. Does your sin and rebellion make you feel like you're unworthy? Unworthy of God? There's no way God could love me. Do you feel like, you know, if you knew what I've done, you wouldn't like me either? And there's no way that God's going to take me in. Do you feel not good enough to be loved and accepted? I would imagine everybody here at least related to one of those. Do you need beauty, gladness, praise, and righteousness poured out upon you? Think of that, God pouring out beauty and gladness and praise and righteousness upon you. Jesus is here to help. He has come as the anointed one. That's what Messiah means, the anointed one. He has God's power. God's power is in him. Come to him. We think of people going to this manger scene. Think of people going to the manger, not the manger scene. Think of people going and seeing Jesus, right? The little drummer boy, right? Cute story. The magi, the shepherds. I wonder if the innkeeper came over. And they come to Christ, this little baby. And then as Jesus grows, he becomes a man and he says to people, follow me. He says, I have the power to heal you. I have the power to loosen those binds. You feel trapped? Jesus has the power to fix it. There is nothing you have said or done that he can't heal. Now, I'm not going to say it's going to be healed like that. Sometimes it is, but that's kind of a rare occurrence. But there is nothing he can't heal in you or in your loved ones. There are no chains he can't break. You cannot imagine chains strong enough that he can't break. You are not so lost that he can't find you. The pit is not so dark that he can't lead you out. He can save you. He can help you. I know he doesn't always help in the way we want. Anybody who has walked with Christ has seen Jesus doesn't do what we want him to do. And that is frustrating for us. See, but the problem, I guess, is he's God and we're not. And he does what he knows he needs to do, not what we want. And I know he doesn't help as quickly as we want, at least much of the time. And I know we think our ways are better than his ways. Okay? Deep down inside, most of us feel that. If God were really good and loving and God, he'd do what I want him to do. Think about that. But we often go there in some way or other. But Jesus is always right. Always. I remember talking about him as a, his early life when we were doing the one Bible study. Can you imagine being Jesus' brother or sister? Yeah, okay, he's always right. Oh, man, But he is always right. He's the good shepherd who gives his life for us. And he does have the power and he does have the will to help. He wants to help. So I would ask you to give yourself over to him. Maybe that means giving yourself over to him again. I'm not talking about a salvation issue here, that you've lost your salvation or anything like that. I'm just saying, surrender to him. There are times I know in my life where I want to take my life back, at least parts of it. Jesus, I think I want control of this part again. And I'll do a better job with this than you are. Or I just want this part because that's the way I am. Just give it back to him. He's bigger than our struggles. And he will do more than just help us with the problems that we see. I'll say that again. He will do more than just help us with the problems we see. Thank you. He will help us with the needs we don't even know we have. Some of your greatest needs you may have no idea are there. So then let Him lead. Come to Him. Give yourself over to Him. He says, follow me. Let Him lead. His timing, His way. I got to tell you, He often wants me to do things I don't want to do. And at 51 years old, I can still throw temper tantrums, right? My daughter, Rebecca, is here. She's back in the nursery, and I've got to use her as an illustration because she's here. Okay? Becky used to be great at throwing temper tantrums. Right, Becky? She's not listening to me. She's ignoring me. She was great at throwing temper tantrums when she was very, very little. You'll have to ask her husband if she still is or not. She's a wonderful daughter. But really, she was good at throwing temper tantrums. And you know what? I am even better at it with God. You know? I want what I want, and I want it now. And God, you know, you should just do what I want, because I know what I want. And what I want's best. Or at least it's going to make me feel better for today or something. Let Him lead. When I'm done with my temper tantrums, and I come back to God and just say, you know, okay, Lord, I know. It doesn't feel like it, but I know you know better. And I'll do it your way. And I know it's better for me. I just don't like it. Help me to like it. Let Him work the things out as He knows best. No matter what that may be. It may be very painful. You may have to do things you'd really rather not do. Jesus claims that He is the way and the truth and the life. Makes a lot of claims of Himself. He is the way and the truth and life. It's not just that He knows the way. He doesn't say, follow me because I know the way. And He doesn't say, follow me because I know the truth. He doesn't say, follow me just because I can give you life. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And I believe that wholeheartedly. He is. To come to Him and give yourself over to Him and let Him lead, He does bind us up. He does. I mean, bind us up, by the way, would be like to bind your wounds. I'm not trying to say He's going to chain you up. To bind up the brokenhearted is to put bandages on you. Okay, that's what it means. He will bandage you. He will bring you good news. He will free you from captivity and release you from darkness. He will bring you comfort, beauty, gladness, and praise. Because that's what He does. That's what He does to those who follow Him.